Hello, everyone. This is Renee Rentmeester. I'm the creator and executive producer of the Cooking Without Looking TV show and podcast. And today we have someone who you are going to truly enjoy if you are a major league foodie. This is Chef Regina Mitchell. Regina, how are you?
I'm doing awesome, Renee. Thank you.
Great. Well, you're calling us from Reno, or are you, which you're in Nevada, actually, right?
I'm in Henderson, Nevada.
Okay. And what was that?
Just a little before you get to Las Vegas.
Oh, okay. All right. You know, I never think of Las Vegas or near Las Vegas as a place where people live. You just think of it as like one great big tourist state.
Yeah, a lot of people think I live next to a hotel or a casino.
Well, Regina, tell us about yourself. I know when you were talking to me the other day, I felt like I needed a map of the world with lots of little pinpoints in it.
Thank you. Well, I have been married to an amazing, my number one fan, actually. He's been a number one fan since he laid eyes on me. And all the way to now, which is 5 years. And we have lived in a couple of countries, and I've traveled quite extensively after going to culinary school. We lived in Seattle, Washington. We've lived in British Columbia, Canada. I moved and lived in Scotland and London. And of course, those are all places that I studied under master chefs. And then coming back to the States, I worked with Emeril Lagasse and Julia Child and a few other amazing people to kind of hone my skill as a culinary student, aspiring. And then we ended up here in Henderson, Nevada, and I worked for the MGM Grand Hotel and Casino. And then I got a little sick, which was a surprise, not quite knowing what was the sickness all about. And eventually it caused, or it was a separate condition that aided in the result of me losing a large portion of my vision.
Now, how much do you actually see, Regina?
I see, well, I've lost about, well, okay, you're right. I can see about a good 10 to 15% of my residual vision. And right. I can't see faces or depth perception. I don't have that. So if I'm going down the stairs, it sort of looks like a slide. If that's,
oh, my God.
So it kind of gives you that feeling that you get, that feeling of, okay, I really need to, I know this is these are stairs, so I just really need to be careful when I go down them. So, but also, I'm also a part of a couple of organizations. I am the Southern Nevada chapter president of the National Federation of the Blind, as well as a board member of the Blind Connect, which I am their chef instructor in their mobility and training program when it comes to the culinary portion of their program.
That must be really wonderful for you, because you must get a lot of newly blind people who maybe are a little afraid of cooking, right?
Oh my goodness, yes, they have lost the vision recently, and they just don't want to step back in that kitchen. And but you know, Renee, what I find most pleasurable is, I often say now, you know, sometimes you kind of wonder, oh, why did this happen to me? When I step into this kind of arena, I think about the full circle. I think, wow. So I learned all of this to be in this very special league of a population to give this back to almost like a forgotten people.
Right.
Yeah, and it's, and I mean, I've cooked all over the world. I've taught classes to corporate executives, Forbes, Fortune 500 corporation leaders, but I've never been in a kitchen with a young man who had never seen an egg before.
Wow.
Or touched an egg. Or a little girl that's never held a whole orange. You know, that, oh man, that,
that's really touching.
Full, and it's going to always make my heart full. Or to bring a person back into the kitchen and say, okay, this is how you're going to do it. And yeah, you used to do it that way, but guess what? We're going to learn it a different way. And give them the brave that they need to get back in. So yeah, that's the thrill and the joy of what I do now as a blind chef.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, or it's interesting that you mentioned that, you know, going back and you're of service to a whole group of people that, like you say, are forgotten. And that's in a very similar way why I'm doing the show and the podcast, because it seemed like there was a whole group of people that sort of like shoved off to the side. If you can imagine like a ballroom where everyone's dancing and you got a whole bunch of people in the corner and you just want to bring them out and have them dance as well.
That is such a beautiful analogy. Because in the kitchen, I always say that there is a ballet in the kitchen.
Yes.
Right? It's a ballet of service of what we do. And being in the hospitality industry with MGM Grand for many, many years, and then being in the culinary industry, it really is a ballet of service. And to actually bring them, like you say, from the corner, from the shadows, and bring them back into the kitchen and teach them, man, the basic skills that people just take for granted, or they just don't want to do anymore, or they're, you know, they don't find any interest in, but my community want to so desperately cook for themselves. And when I was telling someone that I do this now, that I teach low vision and blind individuals how to cook, one person actually said to me, why?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yes. You know how I handled that, being blind myself. I said, okay, you wear glasses. Now, take off your glasses and go put them in your bedroom and just walk back out and just forget you have glasses. Now, would you want someone to cook for you every day of your life? Would you want someone to bring meals to you all the time? Would you want to order McDonald's all the time?
Oh, no.
No, you don't. You want to be able to be independent. And that's a part of what even the National Federation of the Blind has taught me, is coming out of those shadows and learning skills to take care of yourself, to be proud of who you are, to hold on to your dreams and your aspirations, and to learn new skills and to adapt to your new environment. So it's a whole part of it. So no, we want to cook ourselves. And so he got it. He thought, wow, I never really looked at it that way. And and another thing is also being an advocate, is bringing awareness to my sighted community where I was at one time, kind of meshing the two worlds together. And my friends that I've had for, wow, 20, 30 years, they're seeing a new Regina, and a new Regina in a new world. And it's quite amazing to them that that blind people can do so much. And we have dreams and we have goals and we want to be amazing contributors to our communities. And we want to be leaders and artists and mathematicians and scientists and chefs. So,
well, isn't it amazing that you have blossomed in your blindness in a way that people are always so sad when they hear a sighted person hears that someone is blind and they go, oh, but you have blossomed and you've shown people how you blossom in your blindness.
Yes, it really, even my doctors, I still go, I mean, I'm also a full-time patient as well. My doctors are very impressed and about even my disposition about my blindness. And but you know, it is a personal keepsake, if you will, how you handle blindness. But I believe that when you are connected to your community, when you have amazing role models, when you're a part of an organization that supports independence and advocacy, and when your family is supportive and they want you to do your best, live your best life, I believe you can come out of those shadows and step into a new world of people that really want to embrace you and empower you, right? So people with
lift you up.
Empowerment want to empower. Mm-hmm, and so that's what I want to do. And that's my something that I want to leave behind is now empowering and equipping people to be independent in a safe, accessible, fun space, which is their kitchen. And so I've just started doing Zoom cooking classes live. I'm live. I am in my kitchen, and they are there watching, listening, and they hear the sounds. And I'm very, I have to also learn. I'm learning descriptive instruction,
yeah,
which I never to do as a chef. As a chef instructor, it was always, you know, oh, look at this. This is how you do it. Don't do it that way, right? So it was not very descriptive. It was all visual. And so I'm taking a visual concept and I'm making it non-visual. And it has been amazing journey because it's a brave an arena in which I've never stepped into. And I've really had to really pray about it and figure out how to do it and research it. And is it something that I could do? And I did it for 8 weeks. I just finished my last class yesterday. And Renee, it went really well. I'm really pleased that the concept worked. And so I'll start working on another series.
Well, I was going to ask you, if you could pick out one of your students, your toughest student, who you thought this person just isn't going to try to learn to cook. Did you have anyone like that?
I had one like that who was fearful of getting behind the stove, like actually turning on the fire, but she was willing to like do the chopping for the lettuce or doing non-cooking fire-ish things, elements. She could wanted to maybe bake, but just that fire scared her again because she just had no sense of it. So my whole approach with her was not necessarily, okay, you need to do this, but let's try some things where you can still be a part of your family in the kitchen and cooking and being with your husband. So let's do some of those types of things. Let's do maybe some chimichurri sauce and pestos and ice cream and salads and vinaigrettes and baking. And then slowly do maybe a saute. Maybe you can chop up an onion and we can do a saute on a low heat. So that's how I would approach someone like that. I wouldn't just say, oh, come on, you can do it.
But throw them in there.
Yeah, respect and honor how they feel, and that fear. Because when I lost my vision, a great portion of my vision, I was apprehensive as well. And I didn't cook for a couple of years, meaning not as much as I used to. Yes, I did cook, but I still had quite a bit of apprehension. So I remember that, and I respect that, and it just comes back with time. And so that's how I would approach that. I would honor their feelings and that fear, because that fear is real, although it's sort of like a monster that we perceive, because fear is, you know, it's like a perception of something that hasn't quite happened yet, but right. Looming bear. And so we just respect that and kind of take it baby steps. That's how I would approach that.
Regina, what do you fear? Since, you know, most people fear cancer and blindness, and you have some health issues, but you also have the blindness. So you've gotten over like the most major of human fears. What is there anything that you fear?
Not right now, Renee. Not right now. Like you said, it's that huge thing of losing your vision that no one wants to talk about. No one wants to even, people can't even imagine losing their vision. And then I also have huge health issues, which no one wants to deal with. I go through a low dose of chemotherapy monthly. I get infusions, and no one wants to deal with that either. No one wants to be going to a hospital and get connected and get a drug placed into their system and then try to live it out. And then, so some of the things that are most fearful to people, I'm doing it. And I tell you, I really don't want to have another fear because these are pretty
much conquered. You've conquered fears.
Yeah. I think I'm good on that end.
Well, tell us about, you gave us a roasted vegetable soup, and it sounds so delicious. Tell us about it. Give us the recipe and then tell us a little bit about it.
Oh, absolutely. When you ask for a recipe, man, it's like having about 1,000 children. It's like, which one? Which one do you push in the front of the line? Well, so I selected one that is more seasonal. It's fitting for our weather right now, and it is a roasted vegetable soup. I know many people have a wonderful vegetable soup that they use all the time, either from their aunt or their grandma, something that was passed down from their mother. This one is just a little different. It's a roasted vegetable because as a chef, you know, even as far as developing from a good to a great home cook, you kind of want to learn to develop your flavors. And so this soup is more of a enhancement to your flavors by roasting the vegetables rather than just cutting up carrots and eggplant and zucchini and just putting them in some stock and simmering it. This one in particular, I chose squash, the butternut squash, which is a pretty tough kind of a autumn vegetable. It has a tough peel on it, so you want to peel your squash and cut it up. And then carrots, which is lends itself to a little sweetness. Onions, which is sweet as well, but it gives it more of an earthy flavor. Then you have a shallot and what else is in there? Tomatoes, which we're going to roast as well, and garlic. There's some thyme and a bay leaf. And so we're just going to roast those vegetables and roast them for about 45 minutes. I'm going to take those out. And there's three of the vegetables that we roasted, and that's the tomato, the garlic, and your onion. And if you have a blender or food processor, just want to pulse those three ingredients. And the reason I did that is because it's going to develop your soup even further, because it's going to release, of course, the onions have all those beautiful cells. Your tomato is very sweet and roasted and caramelized. And pureeing all those is going to just give it some unctuousness. and then you have your vegetable stock. If you don't quite like a vegetable stock, you can still use chicken stock. It's fine. Just use like one of those cartons and pour that into a stock pot. And then put in your pureed vegetables. Let that simmer a couple of minutes just to kind of develop those flavors. And then you're going to add all of those beautiful chopped roasted vegetables in. The zucchini, you can chop that by itself. I didn't roast that because, you know, a zucchini can kind of disappear after a while. And you just kind of chop that in bite-sized pieces and add that and just let the whole thing simmer for about a good 15 minutes. And you're done. Turn the heat off. And you want to kind of fish around for that bay leaf and the thyme, or have someone else do it for you. And done. You can eat it, serve it with a great big chunky piece of garlic bread with some Parmesan cheese and a side salad, and you have an amazing winter, autumn meal.
Maybe a little white wine to go along with it?
A little white wine would be wonderful. yes, absolutely. It'd be delicious.
Well, Regina, tell us how people can reach out and find you. How can they reach out to you?
Yes. Well, you can. I am getting together a website as well as some of the audio cooking classes that I've done. So you can reach out to me. My email address is chefrdm@gmail.com. That is CH. EF as in Frank, R as in Regina, D as in David, M as in Mary, @gmail.com. And I can answer questions, or we can chat about our next class. And I would love to get to know you and get to help you step back into the kitchen and make kitchen your friend again.
Do you give personalized cooking lessons?
I do. I do face-to-face Zoom teaching classes. You can call me and we can set up. I can walk you through a recipe. I can walk you through your dinner. Yes, I do. I do personalized recipes as well.
Well, that's wonderful. And Regina, this has been Chef Regina Mitchell from Las Vegas, Nevada, and you know, you can watch her on Zoom or Zoom classes, and you won't be gambling whatsoever. You will find something wonderful in all of her lessons, and I'm certain of that. So thank you, Regina, for being with us. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure, Renee. Thank you for inviting me as your guest.
Thank you. And this has been Renee Rentmeester, creator, executive producer of the Cooking Without Looking TV show and podcast. If you want to find us, we are at www.cookingwithoutlookingtv.wordpress.com. We're also Cook Without Look on Twitter. And you can go to our webpage. And if you like it a lot, you can sponsor us. There's a place to click on for fundraising and donations. And you can listen to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and Podbean.com or Apple Podcasts as well. And thank you very much for listening. Have a great day.